Welcome to another episode of the Radonc on the Run podcast, where we explore the evolving world of radiation oncology, innovation, patient care, and the future of cancer treatment. I'm your host, Dr. Brandon Mancini. In continuing with what we've been up to over the last several months here on Radonc on the Run, we want to highlight important cancer awareness months here in the United States. And for May 2026, we have Brain Tumor Awareness Month here. And so today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and rapidly advancing areas in oncology, which is the role of radiation therapy in the management of central nervous system malignancies. We'll discuss where we came from, where we are today, and where the field is headed next. From conventional radiation therapy to stereotactic radiosurgery, proton therapy, adaptive planning, artificial intelligence, theranostics, and even emerging excitement surrounding radioligand therapy for recurrent and refractory meningioma. So whether you're a patient, a caregiver, advocate, student, physician, scientist, or simply someone interested in the future of cancer care, this episode is for you. So really, why do CNS tumors matter? When we talk about brain tumors and CNS malignancies in general, we're discussing diseases that carry tremendous physical, emotional, and neurologic impact. Unlike many cancers elsewhere in the body, tumors in the brain or spinal cord can directly affect things like memory, speech, personality, vision, mobility, independence, and quality of life. And importantly, not all brain tumors are the same. Brain tumors classically include things like glioblastoma, a malignant aggressive brain tumor, as well as lower grade gliomas, lesions in the brain that originated from other primary tumors outside of the brain called brain metastases, also medulloblastoma, ependymoma, meningioma, CNS lymphoma, and many others. And some of these are aggressive and rapidly progressive, where others can behave more indolently over years. And really, radiation therapy has played a central role in treating many of these tumors for decades. And in many cases, it remains one of the most important tools we have for helping patients live longer, better quality of lives with these diagnoses. And so really, if we take a look back on the past, really looking at how radiation therapy has evolved, the history of radiation therapy for brain tumors is really the story of precision gradually improving over time. So decades ago, radiation treatments were relatively crude compared to with what we can deliver today. Patients were often treated with large radiation fields, limited imaging guidance, and less ability to spare normal brain tissue. Back then, treatment planning was largely based on x-rays and anatomy that we can visualize relatively indirectly. But then came transformative advances over the last several years to decades, really the invention of CT imaging, and really most importantly, in the recent past, things like MRI, with a significant improvement in soft tissue resolution to assist with truly understanding the anatomy, where the brain tumor is, how it's evolving, et cetera. Computer-based treatment planning has also been a major breakthrough in the advancement setting for radiation therapy for brain tumors, and then even more recently, image-guided radiation therapy over the last 10, 15 to 20 years at most. And so this has allowed us to dramatically improve our understanding of tumor location, nearby clinical critical structures, and so forth. One of the biggest milestones has been the rise of stereotactic radiation therapy or stereotactic radiosurgery, often called SRT or SRS. And really, despite its name, this is not surgery in the traditional sense. This is something that radiation therapy is being utilized to deliver extreme precision, high dose radiation to very focused targets, often in as little as 1 to 5 total treatments. And we've had technologies come about such as Gamma Knife, CyberKnife, and linear accelerator-based radiosurgery that have revolutionized the management of brain metastases, things like vestibular schwannomas, arteriovenous malformations, so a completely benign condition that needs kind of control to prevent morbidity or even mortality for people, and then many other benign and malignant intracranial tumors. And so really importantly, this precision has allowed us to preserve more healthy brain tissue while maintaining excellent tumor control or lesion control as a result. And again, this is improving lives, increasing patients' quality of life, increasing survival from their underlying condition, all in this non-invasive manner. And so what does modern radiation oncology look like for CNS malignancies? Really today, radiation oncology for CNS malignancies is incredibly sophisticated. The treatment is very, very personalized, and we now integrate advanced MRI, functional imaging, molecular pathology, genomic profiling, and really multidisciplinary care into every single decision we make. For example, in gliomas, molecular markers such as IDH mutation status, MGMT methylation, 1P19Q co-deletion, things like that have fundamentally changed how we classify disease and guide therapy. Radiation delivery itself has also evolved dramatically. We now routinely use intensity modulated radiation, or IMRT, VMAT, or volumetric arc therapy. Even adaptive planning is emerging and becoming more prevalent. In the stereotactic setting, things like frameless stereotactic systems, where we don't need to have a halo or anything kind of temporarily solidified onto the skull base when it's all said and done. And then even an increasing use of proton therapy. Proton therapy is especially exciting because of its unique physical properties. And we've heard proton therapy in various malignancies, and that utility continues to evolve each and every day. But unlike conventional photon radiation, protons deposit most of their energy directly at the target and then stop, what's known as the Bragg peak. This can potentially reduce unnecessary radiation dose to surrounding normal brain tissue. And this is particularly important for pediatric patients, patients with skull-based tumors, and situations where minimizing long-term cognitive effects matters enormously. Another major shift in the management of CNS malignancies has really been the management of brain metastases. So again, tumors that originated outside of the brain, but spread and created lesions within the brain that then needed to be treated with potentially surgery or, for the purposes of this talk, radiation therapy. And so years ago, really many patients received whole brain radiation therapy routinely. So Monday through Friday treatment, typically 10 treatments. And you can imagine treating the whole brain with radiation over a couple of weeks can have a lot of untoward effects, whether it's losing hair, potentially increased risk of cataracts, hearing changes, even dry mouth for some patients, skin reaction, and most importantly, potentially is neurocognitive effects in the short and long term. But really today, for many patients with limited brain metastases, we often use stereotactic radiosurgery or radiation therapy alone. And again, this allows us to preserve cognition, to reduce toxicity, and to maintain excellent local control by creating incredibly precise lesion-based treatment where the number of lesions are continuing to evolve as our ability to treat those in this stereotactic way. At the same time, we also have systemic therapies that have improved dramatically. We have the advent of things like targeted therapies, immunotherapy, additional antibody-drug conjugates. These are increasingly interacting with radiation oncology in meaningful ways. And perhaps most excitingly, we're beginning to see how molecular imaging and theranostics enter the CNS space as well. So modern, obviously, is a huge advancement from what we did in the past. But obviously, the future is likely to be even much better than what we're used to today. And when we look at the future, things like artificial intelligence, adaptive therapy, and even further personalization is likely to continue to meaningfully impact our patients as they present with CNS malignancies and potentially require radiation therapy. And so the future of radiation oncology for CNS tumors is likely going to become even more biologically informed. We talked about some of the molecular changes that have really fundamentally changed the way that we go after gliomas and other malignant brain tumors. But things will also become more adaptive, right? We used to use slightly bigger treatment fields because we couldn't confidently visualize, say, a postoperative cavity or even the tumor in and of itself. And really, as technology continues to advance, if lesions are evolving during a course of 3 to 6+ weeks of radiation therapy, it is possibly going to be helpful to continue to adapt our radiation treatment plan throughout that process to ensure that we're maximizing tumor coverage and minimizing any untoward effects from the treatment. And so things are going to become more personalized than they ever have been before, which is really exciting. We also see that artificial intelligence is already beginning to impact things like contouring, so outlining both normal structures and tumor, whether we can become more precise in a faster way with more consistency. Treatment planning. When we create a treatment plan, we're obviously trying to optimize and maximize tumor coverage while minimizing dose to all of the normal or sensitive structures within the brain and immediately outside. And so artificial intelligence in ensuring that we're getting the most optimized treatment plan is super, super important and will continue to become more and more a reality as time goes on. Also, workflow optimization is super important as well. Image analysis, whether that's pre-treatment, post-treatment, during treatment, and then response assessment, so that we can try to really learn and understand and ensure that we know exactly what's going on with our patient earlier than we ever have before. So AI may eventually help us in predicting radiation response. It may allow us potentially to identify progression earlier. Potentially, we can have additional tools and understanding and help to differentiate things like radiation necrosis from tumor recurrence, and also potentially the utilization of a personalized radiation dose in real time. Again, the if and the when data and experience and understanding continue to evolve, but really just adding a layer of personalization, customization, if and when appropriate, is a very exciting aspect of artificial intelligence and just the future of radiation therapy when it's all said and done. We're also moving toward biologically adaptive radiation therapy. So historically, again, radiation planning was largely anatomy-based, but in the future, treatment may increasingly adapt based on things like tumor metabolism, hypoxia, molecular imaging, circulating tumor DNA, and even the evolving biologic behavior during treatment. So another kind of collection of factors that will allow more specificity than kind of a one-size-fits-all approach from the past. Another exciting area is really combining radiation with things like immunotherapy or other systemics. Because really, radiation is not just a local therapy. It can influence things like antigen presentation, immune activation, tumor microenvironment changes, and potentially systemic anti-tumor immune response. And so having this understanding and potential combination is going to be critical as things continue to evolve. And there's really enormous interest in how radiation may synergize with things like checkpoint inhibitors, targeted therapies, and other novel systemic agents. So really a lot more, as the theme has been, personalization, customization, evolution of the old to ensure that each and every patient is getting a unique personal treatment plan to optimize their future after treatment. And of course, there's been growing enthusiasm surrounding radiopharmaceutical therapy and theranostics over the last couple of years, and really CNS malignancies are also a part of that conversation when it's all said and done. So specifically in theranostics, really meningioma, the potential utility of meningioma as well as clinical trials in other malignant brain tumors has been kind of an emerging frontier. And so one of the most exciting development areas in this neuro-oncology right now involves theranostics for recurrent refractory meningioma. Historically, meningiomas are often thought of as being more of a benign tumor, but that's not always the case because some of these become recurrent, aggressive, even treatment resistant, and then they can be extremely difficult to manage. And this is especially true with WHO grade 2 and grade 3 meningiomas. So there's a whole class of grade 1, 2, and 3, with grade 1 being the most benign or least aggressive of the three. But those grade 2 and 3 meningiomas can become treatment refractory or necessitate different lines of treatment due to some of their more malignant potential or aggressiveness at baseline. What's super interesting with meningiomas is the fact that many of these strongly express somatostatin receptors, particularly SSTR2. And so this creates an opportunity for molecular imaging using DOTATATE PET imaging. And so classically, a DOTATATE PET has been used to evaluate a neuroendocrine tumor of the gut and to kind of assess treatment response, potentially allow for treatment with targeted radiopharmaceuticals, et cetera. But the ability of DOTATATE PET to allow us to confidently see a meningioma with a potentially even higher degree of confidence and increased accuracy when combined with MRI is particularly exciting when it's all said and done. And so again, DOTATATE PET can improve disease visualization. It can better define disease extent. It can help with radiation treatment planning. And then it can potentially identify patients for targeted radioligand therapy when it's said and done. And so that brings us to Lutathera or lutetium-177 DOTATATE. So radiopharmaceutical therapy that's been approved, FDA approved, and in the guidelines since about January of 2018. And really, Lutathera is only FDA approved for gastroenteropancreatic neuroendocrine tumors, but there is growing interest in its use for the setting of recurrent refractory meningioma. Why is that the case? Really, because of what we were saying earlier. Meningioma expresses the same receptor that those neuroendocrine tumors do in the somatostatin receptor. And that can be quite avid on DOTATATE PET imaging. And so it may potentially be targetable with radioligand therapy. And so this is an incredibly exciting concept because you're delivering targeted radiation systemically, guided by molecular imaging, but it's going directly to tumor cells expressing a biologic target. And so early studies and institutional experiences have shown promising signals in select patients, but obviously we still need things like prospective trials, which are ongoing, standardized protocols, dosimetry optimization, and better understanding of patient selection. But really this momentum is real. And importantly, this reflects a broader transformation occurring across oncology, right? So moving away from purely anatomy-based treatment toward biologically targeted precision medicine. And that's true of radiation oncology, medical oncology, and beyond. But precision medicine is not only the current, but even more so the future. And this is just one example of potential for CNS malignancies in this space. And so in many ways, theranostics represents the convergence of imaging, radiation oncology, nuclear medicine, molecular biology, and personalized cancer care. And I truly believe we're only at the beginning for its potential to assist with CNS malignancies. So as we close today's episode, I think one thing has become very clear. The field of CNS radiation oncology has evolved tremendously. From large field radiation decades ago to stereotactic radiosurgery, proton therapy, adaptive planning, AI integration, and molecular targeted radiopharmaceutical therapy, the pace of innovation truly is accelerating rapidly and is very exciting for patients as far as what the future holds. So the center of everything we do, right? The center of all this technology is still the patient. Every advancement ultimately aims to improve survival, preserve neurologic function, maintain dignity, and improve quality of life. And so for patients and families facing brain tumors, hope increasingly comes not only from one breakthrough, but from the convergence of many advances happening simultaneously across imaging, radiation oncology, surgery, systemic therapy, and precision medicine. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of the RadOnc on the Run podcast. Don't forget to subscribe for future episodes, and we'll see you next time.